Larry Goodman from Hebron. Thank you for listening to us today and for having this forum. I am a relatively recent arrival to New Hampshire. In fact, my wife and I just completed our house in May in Hebron. It is a geothermally heated house. It's an Energy Star 3.0 house. We believe in responsible environmental policies, and we've tried to follow that in our daily lives and how we built our house and how we planned our life up here. I would like to mention, and I think all of you are certainly aware of it, one group that hasn't been discussed today, which is the Energy Efficiency and Sustainability group that was, I think, a cross-functional group of Department of Environmental Services, the Department of Resources and Economic Development. There was legislative representation. There was significant representation from the Public Utilities Commission. And along with the SB 361 Commission, this group, again, this cross-functional group comprised of experts in the energy field, experts in the environment field, experts who all of you know and interact with, or certainly probably have because they're your colleagues and folks you probably deal with in other branches of the government. This group came out with a series of recommendations, and I'd like to share what those recommendations were. And these are actually specifically around renewable policy, renewable RPS initiatives. And actually, the first thing that was recommended was, and again, a very cross-functional group of experts, RPS priorities need to be refined and assessed to respond to changing market conditions. So the fact that we have laws that are in place since 2002 or 2007, obviously market conditions have changed significantly since then, and I think utilities would acknowledge that, and I think the energy markets clearly are very different than they were in 2007. The second thing that they mentioned was have a regulatory process that relies on quantitative analysis and effective stakeholder representation. Well, the public is certainly a stakeholder, and there's a lot of folks from the public here today who clearly have points of view on this. The third thing they mentioned was RPS goals need to be viable, long-term, market-based structures. And the last thing they said, it needs to reflect sustainable efficiency and lower costs. So let's figure out how wind fits into those four recommendations of the of that group of from the EESE. Can wind energy respond to changing market conditions? It's our understanding that both Leinster and Groton, as well as other projects, have locked in fixed costs for as much as 15 years, so that those locked in fixed costs right now are roughly double the wholesale prices of electricity on the open market. So is wind energy lowering electricity costs? No. Is it sustainable? Is it truly renewable? It's not, because it doesn't really replace a coal or a fossil fuel or a nuclear reactor. It supplements it, but it can't replace it. So to the gentleman's point earlier about New Hampshire having coal plants, there's any number of ways that those emissions, and coal accounts for 80% of U.S. carbon emissions, obviously, on the electric sector. There's a lot of different ways to reduce that. No one in this auditorium would want wind powering their house exclusively, because if you had wind powering your house exclusively every time it stopped, you'd have no power. You'd have power maybe 30% of the time if you were lucky. And again, that capacity factor is Department of Energy statistic, not my own. So you would... The utilities will and PSNH will tell you as well, that they need to run fairly constant backup from fossil fuel or nuclear or whatever the source happens to be. I'm not saying that wind cannot play a role in renewables, but there are other far more effective renewables, I think, that the state can have and use than wind. And I think if you look at the fact that wind is being curtailed around the state, and the fact that there are... in the Granite State case, any number of examples of where wind power did not make it onto the grid. So there was a big tax dispute, which everybody's aware of. Granite State said, hey, we only got half our power on the grid. We only want to pay half our taxes. So we're going to build more wind turbines when only a small fraction of the power is getting on the grid now. How can that be sustainable or efficient or long-term? I mean, we're going to keep adding this one form of energy that is high-priced and is, as Michael Skelton from PSNH said, is intermittent and unreliable. I mean, here's a spokesman from PSNH coming out saying, we believe wind energy is intermittent and unreliable. You can only use it maybe 30% of the time. It can't, and the Department of Energy, by the way, says you cannot replace existing capacity resources with wind power. Let me say that again. You cannot replace existing capacity resources with wind power. That's a direct quote from the Department of Energy. The Energy Administration says New Hampshire's 43rd in pricing on electricity. The more wind we bring in, the higher that's going to go because those fixed costs aren't going to change. The fact that the pricing right now is double the wholesale prices of other energy options. So we've got a big decision to make. You know, a lot of economic arguments have been made about why these projects go forward. There are some very compelling economic arguments for residents of this state as to why these projects will hurt their pocketbooks, hurt their spending power, and hurt their ability to raise their families and function here. Anyway, I thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.